All right, so we were on the bottom of Yudam Abayz, where again the Gemara is searching for a source for Chazaka. The Gemara found the source from the Bais HaMenuga. The Kohen comes in, he sees that the Negat Saras on the wall is the proper size. He's in order to label the house of the Bais HaMenuga, he has to exit the house. When he's on the porch of the house, he then says, you know, that this house is a Tame. However, the Gemara asks, how does he know that it hasn't shrunk in size when he turned his back on it to go outside? Must be, we say, once the status quo has been established, we presume that that's the case until such time that we know. Otherwise, the concept of chazaka, what was, we assume it still is until we know, until we find out that perhaps that's not the case. And so then, the Gemara quotes from Rav Bar Yaakov, who disagreed. He said, no, Dilma could go and shiyot to derech acharav. He walked out of the house backwards. And then he was washing the nega the entire time. The Gemara says, yeah, but he's going to close the door. What about in the inside? Oh, okay. So he says he walked out of the house backwards. Once he got outside of the house, which is where he's supposed to label the house as Bais HaMenuga, not in the house, not when he gets home. When he's standing right outside the porch of the house, he's supposed to label it as a Bais Tame. So he was watching the Negat Saras the entire time. He walked out backwards. So Abaye responds and revives the proof that no, Yetziah, Derech HaChayrav, Lo Yishma Yetziah. Leaving backwards is not considered to be a Yetziah. So Rava disagrees with Abaye. He says, what are you talking about? Leaving backwards is not considered to be leaving. And the pasuk says he has to leave. Leaving means a proper leaving, you know, that he walked out forward. Rava says, no, leaving backwards is also considered to be a yitzir. The kamarta, the second of the last of the narrow lines, you know, the kamarta yitzir, the rechay lo ishma yitzir, kain galo biyom kippur miyachiyach. The kain galo, from his practice in Yom Kippur, will prove that walking out backwards is considered to be a yitzir. The siv be yitzir, the pasuk says, v'rachas is, where's the pasuk? V'rachas zachrimos, v'yotza v'asa soy losoy. He leaves and he performs his oil, v'tanan yotza v'baloy derech nisosoy. He can go out and walk in facing the same direction. So he walked in facing forward, the Heichel, and when he walked out, he would be facing the Heichel also. So you see that you can walk out backwards, and that's also considered to be Derech Yitzia. So walking out backwards is a Derech Yitzia, and we don't have a problem. From this very fact that the Gemara proves from the way the Kohen Gadol conducted himself on Yom Kippurim, that's considered to be a yitziah, meaning walking up backwards is a proper yitziah. You see how choreographed everything is that takes place in Yom Kippur. Everything that takes place in Yom Kippur, every movement of the Kohen Gadol is a halacha. It's not just he has to get in the house, so he comes in. He has to leave, so he leaves. From the fact that the Gemara proves that he would walk out backwards and showing cover to the Heichal as he left out, the Kodesh HaKadosh, he would leave backwards. So from there we derive, it's a din that Yetziah, Derech HaChayrav, Ishma Yetziah. You see from here that every step that the Kohen takes in Yom Kippur is choreographed, is significant. So Salvechik used this in a Dvar Torah that he printed while he was still in Europe, before he came to America. He printed a few Dvar Torah. Ramesh Salvechik, when he was coming, was using it to, you know, show everyone how great his son was in learning. But this is one of the things that he sent also to the Briskerov, his uncle. And the Briskerov responded in a letter. In the back of the Briskerov safe on the Rambam, the Chidushei HaMaran Riz HaLevi, there's letters to different individuals. No names are there. It doesn't say who the letters are to. They say he didn't write the names of who the letters are to, because two of the letters were to the Rav Salvechik. And he didn't want to write that, so therefore they left all the names out. Okay, some of the letters are to Rav Salvechik, some are not. How can you tell which are to Rav Salvechik? If he writes Chazisi Liakiri, that's the Rav. If it doesn't say Chazisi Liakiri, I saw my beloved, and someone, then it's someone else. So in one of the letters he asked the Rav, he responds to this article that the Rav must have sent him. But it's printed in a sefer we have downstairs called Kovetz Chidushei Torah, which has different Torah that are printed by Rav Salavechik and his father, Rav Moshe Salavechik, in different journals. So this article the Rav printed, he said, you see from this Gemara that every step the Kohen Gadol takes in Yom Kippur is choreographed, and therefore he used that to explain what is one of the differences between the Nusach of the Avoda we find in Nusach Ashkenaz and the Nusach of the Avoda in Nusach Sfard. Nusach Ashkenaz says Amitz Koyach, Nusach Sfard says Ata Koinanta. Two different nuschos. So there's a difference between them in the nusach, I think the nusach Ashkenaz. It doesn't mention the fact that the Kohen Gadol would bow down before he left. Normally it would be that he would bow down and then he would leave. Throughout the Mishnah and Masechtas Talmid, every time the Kohen would leave after performing an Avodah, he would bow and then leave. On Yom Kippur, at least in one version of the Avodah, I think in Nusach Sfarad it does appear that he would bow and leave, as was the normal protocol throughout the year, but on in the Nusach Ashkenaz it doesn't appear. There's no bowing downs that I mentioned. Obviously the Kohen Gadol would bow down together, right? Everyone bowed down. Kohenim Va'am, Ha'imdim Va'zar would bow down. We all bow down in Yom Kippur as part of the Avodah, but you know, as a protocol, every time he concluded one of the stages, or he left and came, so the Kohen, after performing an Avodah, would bow down, like performo, like that was perfunctory. But we don't find that kind of perfunctory bowing down that wasn't, you know, the HaKohenim Va'am Ha'im De Bazara, whenever he would say the Shema Mafarish, we would all bow down. You know, other than that, we don't find any bowings in the Avodah of Yom Kippur. Why not? Why is it different than the rest of the year? When he would, you know, have a perfunctory prostration after he would perform an Avodah. So Soloveitchik suggested that perhaps it's because everything in Yom Kippur has to be choreographed, has to be justified. You can't have Kohen Gadol doing anything that's not prescribed exactly as part of the Avodah. So since it never mentioned the Psukim and Chumash, part of the Avodah is that the Kohen Gadol has to bow down, he can't do it. Even though the rest of the year that was protocol. After he finished Avodah, he would bow and leave his Mishnah throughout Mesechus Talmud. Every time he finished it, would be Vishdach Vaviyotza. He would bow down and then he would leave. And Yom Kippur not. Why not? Because you see from our Gemara, he proved from Daf Chulin, Daf Yudam Abayz, you see the Gainus. But he proved from our Gemara that every move that the Kohen Gadol made in Yom Kippur had to be prescribed, had to be choreographed, had to be justified. And therefore, if it wasn't part of the official Avodah, so then it could not be allowed. That's what he proved from our Gemara. I would have said it was slightly different variation of it, is that leaving in particular, I wouldn't have necessarily derived from here that, you know, look, there's another Nusach that does have that he did bow down every time. You know, after the Avodah, he would bow down like every other time throughout the year you conclude an Avodah, he would bow down. So what about the Rav Zvok? Don't you see that every move has to be choreographed? How does the other Nusach justify itself that they used to bow down at the conclusion of the Avodah? It's not mandated as part of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim and the Psukim and Parshas Achrimos. So I think the answer might be that it's only the Yitziyah of the Kohen Gadol that is a crucial part of the Avodah. Meaning it's not just doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, it's leaving! Our Gemara emphasizes leaving. Leaving you got to do properly. Leaving has to be done, you know, halakhically. And therefore, if he walked out backwards, that shows that leaving backwards is also considered to be leaving. Because leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, leaving the Avodah of Yom Kippur was also part of the Avodah of the day. L'mashal, the Kohen Gadol would go to the mikvah every time he switched his garments back and forth. We know whenever he did Avodah inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had to wear the white garments. He couldn't wear the golden garments. He couldn't go to the world the whole year because Ein Kategor Nasa Zaneka would remind the Rebbeinu Shlom of the Ego Azov, and that would, you know, that would harm our efforts to encourage the Kodesh Baruch Hu to forgive us. But when he went out, so he wore the Big Day Lavan. When he went out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he did the Avodah and the rest of the Azara, so then he wore the Big Day Zov. And he had to switch garments back and forth, I think five times in Yom Kippur, between the Big Day Zov, Big Day Lavan. Every time he went to the mikvah in between. Why? You know, because he was switching, let's say, when he was going from the Azara into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had to go to the mikvah. He's about to go up in Kedusha. So he has to go to the mikvah. How come when he's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no, he has to go to the mikvah? What does he have to go to the mikvah for? He's coming down in Kedusha, right? He's leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's coming back into the Azara. Why is he going to the mikvah for? When you leave Shabbat, people go to, you know, mikvah Erev Shabbos. I never heard anyone go to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos. No such minik. Why not? Why go to the mikvah Motzei Shabbos? So why is the Kohen Gadol going, after he's leaving the Kodesh HaKadoshim, going out to the Azara? Now he's going to go to the mikvah now? What now? So Rav Zevin explains in a Sefer L'Torah V'Lomo'adim that it's because part of the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippurim was not only to go up in Kedusha, to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it was to take that experience with him throughout the rest of the year. We explained around the Rosh Yom Kippur time that Yom Kippur is described as Achas B'Shana, which can mean one of two things. It can mean it's once a year, it stands out, it's sui generis. On the other hand, maybe it means it's Achas B'Shana, it's once a year, because it impacts it, you know, it defines, it influences the rest of the year. So part of the Avodah of Yom Kippurim is leaving, is taking the Kedusha of Yom Kippur with us throughout the rest of the year. That's the whole Avodah. That's what we suggested in the past. You know, what happens to the Beinoni? Everyone knows, Aseres Yimei Teshuva. What happens to the Beinoni? He's Omid V'Toyla. What happens? What's his? If you're a tzaddik, you seal right away in Rosh Hashanah, the first night, right? L'shana Tov V'Sechase V'Sechaseim. You're already sealed. V'Alta L'chaim Tov L'shalom. If you're a Rasha, sealed miyad, chas v'shalom, to the opposite. If you're a Beinoni, You wait around until when? When do you wait around till? Yom Kippur. If he does tshuva, he sealed the chayim. If not, he sealed the misa. When is the din sealed for the Beinoni on Yom Kippur? Marv? No. Only Nila, we change the nusr from Chasmeinu v'sefer chayim to Chasmeinu v'sefer chayim. Why do you have to wait till Nila? Maybe the guy did tshuva on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and Thursday of Seres Major. Why do you got to wait till Nila? So I think that the answer, or maybe earlier in Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre was so inspiring that he decided to change his life. Why does he have to wait around to Ne'ilah? Because the object of Yom Kippur is not to have a high in the middle of the day. The object of Yom Kippur is to take it with you when you leave. So Kadosh Baruch Hu has an exit exam from Yom Kippur. That's when a person's din is sealed. Because part of the avodah of the day is not just doing that which is prescribed in the Kodesh HaKadosh, but is leaving. So I don't know if you necessarily see Rav Soloveitchik's point from our Gemara. Maybe all the Gemara means is that the leaving has to be, not that every move, maybe every move the Kohen Gadol had to make in Yom Kippur has to be choreographed, and therefore he couldn't bow as he normally would, since it's not prescribed by the Psukim and Parashas Akronis. That was Rav Soloveitchik's point. But perhaps you see from here, that no, part of the avodah of Yom Kippur is leaving, and therefore the leaving, if he walked out backwards, that's considered to be valid, must be that Yitzhiya Derech HaChayv Ishma Yitzhiya. I don't know if you see more than the fact that the Yitzhiya itself is part of the avodah of Yom Kippur. The Rav derived from here that every step he takes is choreographed. I don't know if you necessarily see that. But our Gemara concludes that walking out backwards is considered to be leaving. The problem is, if you come in backwards, that's not considered to be coming in. That's Taisus Kasha. Over here, Yudim Abayz asks from the Gemara Mesechta Shavuos. We saw at the end of Shir yesterday, where the Gemara says Mesechta Shavuos, that if a person walks into a Bais HaMenuga backwards, he walks in backwards. Or, a parallel to this, a person walks into the Beis HaMikdash, Betuma, backwards. Has he violated the Isser of Al HaMikdash, Lo Yisava? You're not supposed to walk to the Beis HaMikdash when you're Tamei. What if you're walking backwards? So Gemara says, no, you haven't violated the Isser if you're walking backwards. Why not? If leaving backwards is considered to be leaving, how come when I walk into the Bais HaMenuga backwards, or I walk into the Makom HaMikdash backwards when I'm Tameh, I haven't violated the Isser? If leaving backwards is considered to be leaving, how come coming backwards is not considered to be coming? So Taisa says, Yeshul Chalik ben Kenisa li Yitziyah. There's a difference. Do'or ka demilsa bi Yitziyah ka Talmud and Iftim Meirabah. People sometimes leave the house walking backwards. The guy leaves the Amud, right? So he steps away. Mishum covered of the Sefer Torah, covered of the Aron Kodesh. So people sometimes walk out backwards. It's not so abnormal. But it is entirely abnormal to enter into a room backwards. That's just ridiculous. And the Torah usually deals with that which is normal. So most of the prohibitions in the Torah apply to that which is normal. We discussed this in the past. The Torah says, Nati machalas asuras, that's if you eat it in the normal way. You eat it in an abnormal way. I dump tons of salt on it, or I put, make it inedible. So then you don't violate the Isser in the Torah. A person cooks in an abnormal way on Shabbos, he doesn't violate necessarily the Isser of Bishol. If it's not Derech Bishol, then it's not prohibited. I think we discussed maybe this year. So the Torah usually addresses typical normal situations. A guy enters in backwards, he's deranged. So then that's not what the Torah is talking about. Therefore, you don't violate these. Yeah.
What does it mean that it's not considered entering? Like in terms of, I understand.
The Torah says don't leave the Bais HaMenuga, right? Or he has to leave the Bais HaMenuga in order to declare it as Tamei. Until you leave, quote unquote, in a proper leaving with a capital L, that's not considered to be leaving. So too, don't enter as a capital E, which means it has to be done in a normal way. Yeah.
Right, so it seems like it doesn't, because it's strange, because it seems like when it comes to entering partially, we go based on how he actually goes. But when it comes to if he's actually Tumah or not, it's really just dependent on if he's in the house.
Exactly, alluding to the Gemara says, Mesech Tzvachin, I think, that Bia B'miksa Shma Bia, if a person enters partially into the Beis HaMikdash, Betuma, he's violated the Isser. Not Midai Raisa, it's only in Isser Midai Rabbanan, but he's violated the Isser. That's one of the part of the discussion about putting notes, Kvitlach, into the Kaisel. So some raise the Shaila, how you have to put the Kvitlach into the Kaisel? I hate to burst anyone's bubble, by the way, but they go around regularly pulling them out and throwing them in the garbage. So, yeah, anyway, that's the sad story of the Kvitlach at the Kaisel. But so Rav Shechter argued it's also, you're littering. Okay. You're defacing the kaisel by putting little notes in there. So, okay, I don't know. It seems harsh. Because this minute goes back to Or Chaim HaKadosh, who's buried on Har HaZeisim. It was one of the old first moves to back to Yerushalayim. So Or Chaim HaKadosh, they say, started this practice of putting kvitlach into the kaisel. Fine. So they, but when you do that, you stick your fingers sometimes a little bit into the cracks. Oh, be a b'meisa shma bia, and you tell me how you got to do this. So the Avnei Nezer has a tshuva. The Avnei Nezer is a sakat shavah rebbe, so he has a tshuva in the Avnei Nezer that no, it's permitted. Because of a fundamental mistake. The Kaisel is not the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kaisel is the wall of the Har HaBayis. If you've ever taken a tour with, you know, you'll be told. It's the retaining wall of the Har HaBayis that Herod built. Herod expanded the base of the Har HaBayis, doubled its size. Not proportionally, he made it into a rectangle. Right now, if you look at like an aerial view of the Har HaBayis, it looks like a trapezoid, actually. But it's more or less a rectangle that it's double as wide as it is, as long as it is wide. That was done by Herod. That's why the stones on the outside are Herodian stones, if you know what that looks like. It has, you know, a protruding center with a border. So that was built by Herod. He expanded the Har HaBayis. So it's a wall of the Har HaBayis. There's some who don't walk to the Kaisel Plaza. Briskers don't walk to the Kaisel Plaza because they're afraid, which was based on a mistake, that the Kaisel is the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kaisel is not the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore they say, if the Kaisel is the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kaisel Plaza is the Har HaBayis, so then you can walk the Har HaBayis. Okay. It's probably not correct. It's absolutely not correct. The Kaisel is the wall of the Har HaBayis, in which case you're not, anybody whose tummy can walk all the way up to the Kaisel. So, Avnei Nezer suggests, Bia b'miksa shma bia, as if you're walking into the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, Bia b'miksa shma bia. The walls of the Har HaBayis, because that was kodesh through and through. The walls of the Har HaBayis were not kodesh through and through. The outside of the wall was not kodesh. It was only the inside of the wall. Okay, so therefore, Bia b'miksa shma bia is only the azara, not in the walls of the Har HaBayis. Zach is asking, yeah, but that's, you see, when I stick my fingers in, that's normal, right? Sometimes it's normal to stick my hand in partially through the door. So that's a normal entering with a capital E, even though it was only partially, a small piece of my body, that's also considered to be entering. Lamashal, a person touches a corpse. How much of you becomes tummy when you touch the corpse? Your whole body. But I only touch it with my hand. The answer is, tumma gets transmitted, it gets conducted to the rest of your body. So too, that's the stipulus, Marshall. The stipulus says over here, if I stick my hand partially into the Harabai, into the Azara, even though I only stuck my hand in, that's like, it's like the Harabai, the Azara is touching someone who's tummy, a corpse. So therefore, it violates the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, even if it only comes partially. And just like if I partially touch a corpse, my entire body becomes tummy. But that's only because it's normal. It's normal way to sometimes enter in partially. Or it's normal if I stuck my... It could be, you'd be right, if I, let's say, turned around and stuck my hand in this way to the rabbi, so that might be, right, that might be not a, entering in a normal way. But if I'm standing forward and I stick my hand in, then be able to mix us shmabim. The Gemara there says, though, in Erevin, that this is, even though it's not considered to be shma bia, if I walk in backwards, that's only if I'm only partially walking in. Right? You enter your whole body in, but your nose is sticking outside. If you enter your entire body in, it's still not considered to be entering. It's still entering with a lowercase e, and that doesn't violate the prohibition. But there's another prohibition, a second layer here. And that is, even if you didn't enter in the normal way, it's prohibited to remain there. Let's say, would you have such a case? Even if a guy doesn't violate entering, it's prohibited to remain there. Let's say a guy became tameh in the Beis HaMikdash. How could a guy become tameh in the Beis HaMikdash? Someone died, punt. You know, his time came in the Beis HaMikdash. And now we're all there. Do we have to leave or can we stay? We didn't enter betumah, but we are now tameh in the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara says you have to leave. Second prohibition, you're not allowed to enter betumah, you're not allowed to be there betumah. So that's why we can't read the Rambam over here simply. Look over here, turn the page. The Rambam says, Tamei sheniklas lemikdash derech gagos. A guy enters through the roof. I don't know if he's a thief or something, but, you know, lowering himself down with some... Santa Claus here. Nice. Well done. So Tamei sheniklas lemikdash derech gagos pater. Shenemar vel mikdash losav. You're not supposed to walk in the normal way. Derech bia chayav Torah. It's only if you come in with a capital E you can enter in the normal way. The aval pishu pat mekaris. So if you enter in an abnormal way, there's no kares, but nonetheless makanos makas mardis. It's still awesome in the rabbanon. So therefore says the Rambam, afilu nichlas b'migdol haperech ba'avir. Even if I enter in a flying box, wow, what do we call that? A helicopter. So even if the guy enters in through a helicopter. It's still awesome in the Rabbanon, but you have not violated the Isa Midaraisa. So someone suggested maybe I could enter into the Har Habayis, or at least fly over the Har Habayis in a helicopter.
What was the Rambam referring to?
A theoretical case of a flying box. Rambam had an imagination.
Ahead of his time.
Yeah, but a few maybe. What's the status though of the but the Mishnah Melech is quick to point out that that's only with regards to entering, but to stay there, like hover over the Har Habayis. Obviously, if you work for the army, you're protecting our bodies. It's pikuach nefesh, but that's not the case. You're on some sort of, I don't know if there are helicopter tours yet in Yerushalayim. There must be some law against it.
I don't think it's legal. I think there's a no-fly zone.
It's a no-fly zone? Yeah, I've never seen airplanes fly over there. But if they would, you know, if the Waqf would allow us to do this, have helicopter trips over the Harabayas, some entrepreneurial American will come and, you know, arrange this. So are you allowed to do that? The Mishnah Melech says, no, but wait, that's with regards to entering. What about with regards to staying? I wait there. The Chayv option is there, Gagos. Even though I entered in the abnormal way, to hover over it is a separate Yisrof, remaining there. You're not, even if you entered abnormally, you're not allowed to remain there. If a guy becomes Tomei in the base of Mekish, you have to leave. And if you wait around, in order to get your selfie, even though you didn't enter in Batuma, you remain Batuma, and that's prohibited. So it says, even if you fly in, but you hover over the Har Habayis, it would still be prohibited. But we're making one big assumption, which might or might not be the case, and that is that the airspace of the Har Habayis is the same as the Har Habayis. Right? If I entered in a helicopter and I landed in that, there's a, you know, large empty space right over there, you know, in the middle of the Har Habayis, then we would have our shaga. What if I'm just hovering over the Har Habayis in the airspace? What's the status of the airspace over the Har Habayis? So believe it or not, that's a suffix the Gemara has in Masechtas Shavuos. Avi or Zarka Zaradami Olo, and the Gemara leaves it as an unresolved matter. So therefore the Rambam writes, V'cheinim tala atzma ba'avi or Azara. Let's say a person is hovering over the airspace of the Azara. It's all found in Rambam. Hadavar suffix ba'avi or Zarka Zara inu Kazara. We're not sure. So, mitoch ha'suffix, you'd probably have to be machmir. Not to remain hovering over the Har Habayis. I think if you fly over in an airplane that's, you know, 1,000, 5,000, however many feet up the airplanes are, probably not included what we're talking about, because you fly over to last mamash a second, that's not kedei ishtach avoya. But if you're going to hover over, even in the airspace, it's a suffix in the Gemara, avir kazar kazar dami, or not. So Bavadi in his tshuva, chelkei of Abiy Omer, about taking helicopter trips over the Har Habayis, he says, well, you have so many svekas here. Is the airspace like the Har Habayis or not? Is the rabbi still kadosh today or not? It's a further dispute. So he starts making fakes and all this kind of stuff. But in the end of the day, he's machmir also. No, you can't do this. Can't have a helicopter over the makom hamikdash. That would be a problem for those who are tummy, which is all of us. Yeah.
Is this a problem for non-Jews also, or only Jews?
Non-Jews don't ask shilas. But of course, probably not Jews. Of course. You're saying if we'd have a righteous Gentile tour, should we permit them, that NCSY will start running or something, should we permit them to enter into the Har Habayis? No, we would not. We would not. But right now we haven't started the righteous Gentile part of NCSY yet, so we're still okay. Yeah. All right, so we'll have to get on. Right, Amir Tashem next time. Famous Reb Chaim. Famous Reb Chaim. Okay, we'll have to see you next time.